translation proper. In that transcendental state of labdhya pashanti, there is no supremacy of devastating time which controls even the celestial demigods who are empowered to rule over the mundane creatures. And what to speak of the demigods themselves? Nor is there the mold of material goodness, no passion, no ignorance, nor even the false ego, nor the material causal ocean, nor the material nature. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Okay. Devastating time, which controls even the celestial demigods by its manifestation of past, present, and future, does not act on the transcendental plane. The influence of time is exhibited by the symptoms of birth, death, old age, and disease. And these four principles or material conditions are present everywhere in any part of the material cosmos up to the planet of Brahmaloka, where the duration of life of the inhabitants appears to us to be fabulous. Insurmountable time even brings about the death of Brahma. So what to speak of other demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya, Vayu and Varuna? The astronomical influence directed by the different demigods or mundane creatures is also conspicuous by its absence. In the material existence, the living entities are afraid of satanic influence. But for a devotee on the transcendental plane, there is no such fear at all. The living entities change their material bodies in different shapes and forms under the influence of different modes of material nature. But in the transcendental state, the devotee is gunatita, or above the material modes of goodness, passion, ignorance. Thus the false ego of I am the Lord of all I survey does not arise there. In the material world, the false ego of the living being trying to lord it over the material nature is something like a moth flying into a blazing fire. The moth is captivated by the glaring beauty of the fire, and when it comes to enjoy it, the blazing fire consumes it. In a transcendental state, the living being is pure in his consciousness, and as such he has no false ego to lord it over the material nature. Rather, his pure consciousness directs him to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vasudevam saram iti sasamama dulaba. All this indicates that in the transcendental state there is neither material creation nor the causal ocean for material nature. The above mentioned state of affairs is factual on the transcendental plane, but is factually revealed in the transcendentalist knowledge of advanced state of pure consciousness. Such transcendentalists are of two types, namely the impersonalists and the devotees. For the impersonalists, the ultimate goal of destination is Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky. And for the devotees, the ultimate goal is Vaikuntha planets. The devotees experience the above mentioned state of affairs by attainment of spiritual forms of activity in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. But the impersonalist, because of his neglecting the association of the Lord, does not develop a spiritual body for spiritual activity, but remains as a spiritual spark only merging as a effulgent spiritual rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is a full-fledged form of eternity, bliss and knowledge, but the formless Brahma Jyoti is simply eternity and knowledge. The Vaikuntha planets are also forms of eternity, bliss and knowledge, and therefore the devotees of the Lord who are admitted into the abode of the Lord also get bodies of eternity, bliss and knowledge. As such, there is no difference between one and another. The Lord's abode, name, fame, entourage, etc. are of the same transcendental quality. And how this transcendental quality differs from the material world is explained here in this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, three principal subjects have been explained by Lord Sri Krishna, namely Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. One can reach the Vaikuntha planets by the practice of Bhakti Yoga only. The other two are incompetent in helping one reach the Vaikuntha lokas, although they can, however, conveniently take one to the infulgent Brahmajyoti as described above. Narayanapanam Narayanamaskittam Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayat Mudirayat Nasta Presu Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavati Sevayam Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtaki. So so we're speaking about time in this purport, and time is a relative term, which from the point of view, like a dog may live 10 years, but for that dog it's 100 years. Because the body he's in is 100 years. For a cow lives 20 years, same thing applies. The demigods, 6 months here is one day there, and they live for 10,000 years of their time. And so in that sense, time is relative. And from Mahavishnu's perspective, the life of Brahma, which is 311,040,000,000,000 earthly years, for him is just under half a second. So in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada gives an example. In the beginning, he says how if someone's very high in the sky, flying in the plane, he looks down, he sees all the buildings very tiny. You see, very. So, from that understanding, we may think our suffering is very great, very difficult to overcome. But from Krishna's point of view, the suffering is very insignificant. He can just counteract it. The earthly planet is very considered more full of good fortune than even the higher planets and even the lower planets, because in the higher planets everyone is burning up their good karma, and enjoying facility is very high there. It's not easy to take to spiritual life. There's a quote by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He gives a little understanding of this, how the human form of life is considered more higher than the demigod's life. So human birth is better than birth as a demigod, and that is why the demigods aspire for human birth. The demigods are intoxicated with material enjoyment that they cannot think of how much distress awaits them. They are fully absorbed in intoxication of temporary happiness. A demigod's life is also temporary. Bhagavad Gita 9:21 Te tam bhuktva swarga lokam vishantam chinya punyam te lokam vishanti evam tre danam anupapanana kata katam kama kama lampyante. 9:21 Bhagavad Gita. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sensual enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. Human beings are more concerned about the future than the inferior living entities. The demigods live happier and more prosperous lives than human beings, but eventually they too face difficulty. Surrounded by high birth, opulence, knowledge and beauty, demigods always try to increase their standing. Because they have more facility for material enjoyment, we consider them great. But human beings have an advantage. Since they are not as great as demigods, they have the privilege of thinking about their auspiciousness. If a human being remain absorbed in attachment to high birth, opulence and so on, like demigods, they will never be able to think about how to find their own good fortune. Human beings have more opportunity than demigods to worship the Supreme Lord and associate with saints. Thus, the human birth is superior to birth of the demigod. Also, the miseries we experience in the human form of life constantly remind us of the temporary and insignificance of material existence. In the relatively superior birth of demigods, this realization is not easily achieved. In the human form of life, therefore, we have received the opportunity to become truly fortunate, to know what is beneficial and not beneficial for us. So, so the human being, he's got this ability to discriminate between good and bad. An animal doesn't have that. An animal's got high intelligence just to use one of his senses. Like an eagle, he can see a corpse on the floor from a high distance. A dog can hear a whistle which man cannot hear. A hippopotamus, once a child is born, it leaves the mother because the mother, the hands of the mother are like sandpaper, and if it drops the child, it'll die. So somehow the Krishna gives intelligence to the child to go away. So once the child is more grown up, then he comes back. And a crocodile's got intelligence to grab a person when he's near the lake so he can take him away like that. So animals only have one level of intelligence. They don't have that developed intelligence to understand how to become Krishna conscious. So but a human being, he's got all the senses. He can use all his senses to become self-realized. So the human being, he has to be more careful in his practices of self-realization, because the world we are living in is a world of Maya, and there's a lot of distraction in this world of Maya. If we are sincere in our practices of understanding who is God and trying to approach Him as a person, then He will give us intelligence how to approach Him. It says, Krishna says, "Ye ye tamam prapadyante tamste bhajamiyam mam manu vantante manushyam patha savasaha," that everyone follows my path in all respects. As I surrender unto Him, I reward them accordingly. So, if we look on a broader scale, we see ultimately everyone is directly or indirectly serving Krishna. Those who approach Krishna directly, they save a lot of troubles in life. Their difficulties are taken away very quickly. Whereas those who try and approach Krishna in their own way, it'll take many more births to achieve the goal. So, how does one achieve this higher goal? Prabhupada gives an example. He says, just like if you're in the airport, you go to the airport and you don't have a flight, there's no point wasting time in the airport. So the understanding is you have to come to mode of goodness. So mode of goodness is like a springboard to pure goodness. So we have to have a goal where we want to achieve to become self-realized. And if that goal is very clear, then achieving Krishna's self-shelter becomes very easy. So there's in the Prabhupada he explains about achieving knowledge. So in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains in his purports how those who do sacrifices with knowledge will achieve higher goals. They will achieve the supreme goal in time. But those who do sacrifices without knowledge, their spiritual goals will not be achieved. Having knowledge in terms of reading the scriptures, serving those who are practicing self-realization, then taking to the practice of chanting the holy name, perfection is very easily achieved. Unfortunately, in the material world, because people try to be the center of activity, the modes of nature overtake them. And when the modes of nature overtake them, they have a whole misunderstanding of what the goal of life is. Like in modern day society, they say, man's best friend is a dog. And this is due to being affected by the modes of passion, ignorance. He says in the teaching in Queen Kunti, Krishna's purpose of coming to the material world is to protect cows, brahmanas and devotees. Because this will benefit human society for the real goal of life, achieving perfection. As practicing devotees, if we want to assist Krishna in his plan, we have to follow the teachings what Prabhupada has given. And Prabhupada wanted simple living, high thinking, farm communities. He wanted devotees to grow their own vegetables, protect cows, preaching centers, simple, trying to live off the land like this. And this is more of a life like Krishna lives in Goloka Vrindavan. He has his cows, he has his farm, the farm area is there, and cowherd boys. It's very simple. So, as devotees, we are also practicing in that way here. So if we practice in a way, the same way, then there's no difference between what's happening in Goloka Vrindavan and here. It's the same thing. The only thing is we have to convince ourselves on this understanding how we are not this body. This is where the demigods fail in their approaching achieving perfection, is that because they are enamored by too much opulence and wealth, and because opulence and wealth can deviate one in the spiritual goal of life, they miss out on understanding how they are not the body. The Prabhupada in his lectures, in his purports, in the Bhagavad Gita, he mentions how this is a very important to understand, to realize how you are not this body. And according to how much you realize that, then spiritual life becomes very easy to practice. Sisi Radha Gokulana ki ja. So so in this verse he mentioned about time, how it affects everyone. So there is God, material nature and jiva are eternal. time does not affect devotees. But if we want maintain, if in Sanatan Goswami's commentary on 10th canto, he mentions how if one has materialistic eyes, then Krishna will give distress in the form of time. If one's eyes are spiritual within meditating on him, he will give them happiness as a super soul. So So in the Krishna book, there's a quote, this is in How We Can Control the Mind. It says, similarly, one's mind can become peaceful only when one simply thinks of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. This does not mean that one has to have great thinking power. One has to understand simply that Krishna is all-pervasive by his localized aspect of Paramatma in every is everywhere, even within the atom, then one can perfect the thinking, feeling and willing functions of his mind. The perfect devotee does not see the material world as it appears to material eyes, for he sees everywhere the presence of his worshipable Lord in his Paramatma feature. So, so the more we relate to Krishna as a person, the more he becomes our helping us to go towards him. And this conviction can come in only when we take the shastras as our eyes. Prabhupada says we shouldn't depend on the mundane eyes. Mundane eyes have four defects. Tendency to cheat, make mistakes, be illusion, imperfect senses. So we should make the shastras as our eyes. And by seeing through the eyes of shastra and discussing it with those who are practicing the process, our vision becomes more and more clear. And there's a letter by Prabhupada. He gives an interesting perspective on this understanding. In terms of we've given so many lifetimes to Maya, and Prabhupada gives the understanding. So many countless lifetimes the conditioned souls have been giving all of their service and every. For so many countless lifetimes, conditioned souls have been giving all of their service and every to the service of Maya, everything to service of Maya. And I am requesting all of my disciples that for this one lifetime, you give to Krishna is not a very difficult thing. Yet if we are serious in executing devotional principles, this one lifetime is a service to Krishna will give you absolute and final solution to all problems of life. Sincere devotional service is even in one lifetime is sufficient to make one eligible to return to Vaikuntha, world permanently. Krishna consciousness has got this power, so stick to this path as you have now done, and as you sincerity and determination increases more and more, Krishna will surely be pleased to bestow all of his blessings upon you. This is Madhu Visa, for 7969. Prabhupada wrote him like. So, so in the purport, he speaks about the impersonalists also. So, Prabhupada gave an example on this point about impersonalists. He said, They may do a lot of austerities, but because they have no shelter of the Supreme Lord, they come back to the material world. And the example was given, like, if someone is flying in the sky, at some point they have to come back to the earth. They cannot be in the sky all the time. So the other side is also there, like, we see how from the impersonalist, someone becomes a devotee of the Lord. He never becomes an impersonalist again. So in that sense, we can say how the personal understanding is higher than the impersonal understanding. He says, Ravindra Sarwar was telling one time how before joining the Hare Krishna movement, he was studying a class in university and they were discussing Ishopanishad. And these impersonalists, they wouldn't touch the invocation verse, Om Purnam, Ada Purnam, Idam Purnas, Purnasya, Purnasya, they won't touch that verse. Because that verse defeats all their arguments, explaining how even though so many complete unities emanate from the complete whole, he remains a complete. So they won't touch that verse. So that shows the personalist understanding is higher than the impersonal understanding. And also, the arguments of the impersonalist is not very good arguments. Like they say, how in a pot there's the air, which is part of the sky. So once the pot breaks, the air will merge with the sky. So, but the argument to that is that we are not pots. We are humans. We have feelings. So we are individuality. And the other point is given how a green bird enters the green tree, not to merge with the green tree, but to enjoy the fruits of the green tree. So we can see how the personal understanding had an impersonal understanding. And the other point they give is the water from the rivers merge into the ocean. But in the nectar of devotion is given how the aquatics are individual within the ocean. So they are the individuality. So the individuality understanding of personality is higher than impersonal understanding. And also there was in Dwarka there was one impersonalist, he was watching Krishna coming 5,000 years back and he was walking in Dwarka. Then he came to the conclusion that just meditating on the form of Krishna is higher than my understanding of impersonalism. And this understanding of impersonalism is not giving me any satisfaction. Meditating on Krishna's form gives me more satisfaction. So we can see how if we just accept the personal understanding of who Krishna is, we become happy in this very lifetime, and after leaving this body we achieve perfection. Any comments or questions?
Hey, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for an amazing class. I just wanted to ask, you mentioned about the influence of Kala and how devotees are not affected by Kala. Mm-hmm. Can you, like, I mean, obviously, you know, we are affected by, you know, the Kala in a way that our bodies, you know, are getting older and everything that you mentioned. So In which sense devotees are not influenced by kala? You can elaborate a bit more.
Well, the thing is, for a devotee, he's under Krishna's direct protection. So, whatever he goes through externally, it's all part of purification. There was one pastime of Lord Jagannath. In the story of Jagannath book, how this one devotee, he had dysentery. He couldn't get up from bed, you know. He had to lay in bed and he couldn't do his service for Lord Jagannath. And so one person came to him to help him, get him cured. And this devotee realized, actually this person who was helping was actually Lord Jagannath coming in this way as a person to help him. So he told Lord Jagannath, "Your Supreme Lord, you could have just cured me from this. Why did you put me through this?" And Lord Jagannath told him that, "I wanted to put you through this to make you humble." So for a devotee, it's the externals are not that important. Krishna sees your internal mood of how you want to surrender to him. Even Sanatana Goswami, he had bad itches, right? And he was, blood was coming out of his skin, right? And Lord Chaitanya was embracing him every time, and he felt, I'm being offensive to Lord Chaitanya, allowing him to embrace me like this. So he wanted to commit suicide on a Rath Yatra cart. And Lord Chaitanya chastised him. He said, "Your body belongs to me. You can't take another person's property. I have so many things to do through your body." And then at some point, Lord Chaitanya embraced him and his problem went away. Disease disappeared. So for a devotee, if he's fixed in his practices, time doesn't affect. It's just Krishna's way of purifying him so he can become more surrendered. Anyone else? Okay. Yeah. Mic is coming.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. You mentioned that in the higher planetary systems, the jivas are burning off their karma. So for the jivas to attain the higher planetary systems, they would have attained a lot of good karma. Then for a jiva to enter the earthly realms and take birth here, what was required for them, or what made them take birth in the earthly realms? Because it seems like if there's too much pious activity, then you will elevate to the higher planetary system. So is it bhakti in previous lives, or is it coincidence, or what? Why do people take birth in the earthly realms?
Well, from my understanding, in the higher planets, you can't live there eternally. And when the time over there for them, their piety is finished, they get a garland come on them. Garland gets given to them, and then after that, they have to leave the body. And people who are into karma, khanda, karma yoga, these kind of things, they don't take the line of bhakti directly. Then they go to the higher planets. I think you want something,
Prabhu. When Krishna comes to his earthly lila, then the demigods that he wants to help them go back to Godhead, then they take birth so they can participate in his lila, get his association, and make their final journey home. That's one.
That's a good point.
But they're devotees. They're more devotees than other demigods, you know. So there's a mixture, just like this world. Some are there from karma kanda, and some are there from bhakti, which is incomplete. So there's a mixture.
That's good.
I just wanted to say something about Smith Prabhu's question. Srila Prabhupada says also after many, many lifetimes of being born in 8,400,000 species of life, there's one get the human birth. So I think it may be also the chain of birth and death. And I think my spiritual master, Bhakti Charamarchi, said when one has God consciousness, even a little bit, that's also when they can enter into earthly realms. But they, at least just a little bit of God consciousness, at least of understanding, and they can actually enter like that.
Okay.
I had one question. Is that okay? I can ask. In the middle of the class, you said if one has material eyes, Krishna or God gives them distress in the form of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And if one has spiritual eyes, God gives them happiness from within.
Hmm.
So can you elaborate on that? I didn't understand.
Well, it's simple, you know. It's like, you can ask any devotee, you know, a devotee may be going through a lot of difficulty in his life, you know, like health issues, whatever. But you can ask that devotee, are you ready to, if I give you the wealth and everything, to give up Krishna consciousness and not go through those difficulties? Devotees will never agree, because he's got the higher taste, isn't it? A serious devotee will never agree, because they have the high understanding. The material world is temporary. There's no happiness here. And whatever I'm going through is Krishna's mercy on me to purify me. So they will never exchange anything for their spiritual practices. Prabhupada said that in one of his lectures. He said, all these devotees have come. If you offer them to go to the cinema, they'll never go. they won't compromise, because they got the higher taste. They can see the Krishna consciousness, doing everything for Krishna is the higher taste. The other things, there's no taste there. It's all stale. No taste.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Anyone else? Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.